Silence is uncomfortable, isn't it? A little bit uncomfortable. And probably unless you have some toddlers or some little kids, most of us are like, in this now. But if you have toddlers, you're like, can we just, 30 minutes of this would be fantastic, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems like in the midst of silence, it can seem at the same time so loud. Some of you haven't had silence in a while, and this series is all about the noise that we turn on to try to mask all of the stuff that's going on in our lives. Maybe it's the emotions that we feel that we just don't want to deal with, and so we turn up that white noise. Maybe it's the pain that we feel, all the stuff that we want to ignore, all the pain and the hurt and the emotions that we don't want to face, so we just turn on things so we don't have to hear it. And the more we turn it up, the more white noise we have. And here's the danger, is that all those unwanted emotions that we're trying to ignore, they end up running us, don't they? We don't process them. We don't work through them. We don't face them. They run us. The things that we're trying to ignore, they run us. And last week, Justin started this series, and he said this, white noise masks unwanted sound. That's what white noise does. It masks unwanted sound. I don't know how many of you guys have little babies and you have that little white noise machine. Me and my wife bought a white noise machine like right away because as soon as you learn that the baby wakes up, then they never go back to sleep, right? And so you're like, you will get used to white noise for the rest of your life because I never want you to wake up again. No, I'm just joking. So like you turn on that white noise. That's what white noise does. White noise masks unwanted sound. What do we do to mask unwanted emotions though? What do we do to mask unwanted emotions? And we all do different things. Instead of facing real emotions and real things and real pain and real hurt, instead of facing it, what do? We try to avoid it and we try to mask it with different things. Last week, we did a survey in the middle of service and we asked you to write down some things that you use to mask. How many of you guys said TV? You're like, you know what? To avoid stuff, I turn the TV on, the Netflix. Anybody say TV? Nobody said TV? I don't know about you, but for me, that was probably one is Netflix. And I Netflix sometimes. This is a bad thing. How many of you guys have watched Netflix so long that the little thing pops up at the end and goes, are you still watching? Have any of you guys ever seen that? That's like Netflix's way of saying, I think you've had enough for the day. You're good. Like, I think you've had enough. Like, some of us use TV or Netflix or binge watching to just avoid life, right? To avoid the pain, to avoid the real emotions, to avoid the things that we don't want to face. Some of you guys said social media, that you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram or you're on social media, that you're on the internet. You're just, whatever you can do just to get away from real life, you jump into Facebook world, right? Some of you guys said shopping. How many of you guys said shopping? Like, just when I'm having a bad day, I just buy a car, right? I just go and just buy something. It's probably not a car, but it's other things that you've just decided, like, oh, I don't want to deal with this right now. And then you just go and like, I need the credit card, honey. And you just go and you just buy stuff. And shopping has become kind of your white noise that you use. For some of you, it's just drinking. Like you just are like, you know what? I need to go have a drink and 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 a drink until I have forgotten about everything that's going on in my life. And the truth is that all of these things are just white noise that we use to mask what's really going on. The pain that's really going on. Things that we use not to feel these unwanted emotions. And there are all sorts of emotions. Emotions like boredom or jealousy or anger or anxiety or insignificance. The one that we're going to look at today is probably more popular than it's ever been. In a world where we have thousands of friends on Facebook and Instagram, we have followers and likes and all this stuff, this is one that has become so popular, and that's loneliness. Loneliness is that feeling in us that when we feel it, we all do something different to mask it, don't we? We don't like the feeling of loneliness, and we want to get rid of it. We want to hide it. We don't want to have it. But loneliness is one of the most common ailments in our current age. It's one of the most common things that people deal with right now in our current age is just loneliness, going through life alone. And whether that's from suffering from the loss of a loved one, that you feel like you're going through some sort of pain or some sort of hurt, whether it's the lack of true friendships, whatever the reason for the pain, most people go through it alone. Most people face it alone. The other problem is that people don't like to talk about their loneliness a lot. They don't want to let anybody know, because in our culture, it's kind of looked down on, isn't it? It's kind of like that person's weak, or they're not strong, or why can't they just get over it? Okay, you're going through a hard time and you're lonely, I get it, but just make it through. And so we don't like to talk about it because of that. You see, some of you out there, though, you feel as though you can't even escape your loneliness. Like you've been there forever, and you don't know if it's ever going to end. My hope today is just that you leave with a little bit of hope in your heart. Amen. That you can see the light at the end of the tunnel and you go, okay, maybe I don't have to be lonely forever. You see, loneliness is not necessarily a problem. By itself, loneliness isn't the problem. This is the problem. It's what we do when we're lonely that is the problem. It's what we do when we're lonely. Man, how many of you guys have been lonely and then later on you're like, I shouldn't have bought that. I should not have bought that. I shouldn't have dated him or I shouldn't have dated her. Why was I doing that? I was so lonely. I shouldn't have gone over there. I shouldn't have been with that person. I shouldn't have gone there that night. You know what? I don't want to get too personal with you guys. I don't want to get like real deep and ask you personal questions. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have you raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you some questions about if you know if a friend ever did this, okay? This is not you, okay? This is if you know of a friend that's ever done this before, you just slip your hand up. And if they're here, just don't make eye contact with them, okay? Because then they'll know that you're raising your hand for them. Okay, I want you to raise your hand if you have a friend who maybe they've stayed in a bad relationship too long for fear of being alone. How many of you guys know? Yeah, not you, just your friends, okay? How many of you guys know this is true? And you've talked to this friend, right, haven't we? Hey, this isn't a good relationship for you. It's bad, really bad. And they're like, no, I really like them. It's so great. And you're like, it's not good, right? It's not healthy. And you know the person doesn't even really like this person, and they're just putting up with all this mean stuff that this person's doing. But why are they doing it? They don't want to be alone, right? All their friends are with somebody, so why shouldn't they be with somebody, right? You guys, we've all had friends. How many, raise your hand if you know someone, you've had a friend who's compromised sexually because of their fear of loneliness. How many of you guys know somebody? Yeah, you know somebody, they have their boundaries, and they're like, I don't want to go there. But maybe the person in the relationship does, and because of the fear of being alone, with the fear of being by themselves, they're like, you know what? Maybe I'll just push my boundary a little bit, because it's better to cross and pass my boundaries than to feel this feeling of loneliness that I'm feeling, right? We all have that person. Growing up, I used to listen to the oldies station with my dad. When I say the oldies station, I'm talking like 60s and 70s. So if you're like, that's not old, John, that's the oldies to me, okay? That's the oldies station to me. But James Taylor was one that always came on, and it reminded me of this song. And he said this, do me wrong, do me right, tell me lies, but hold me tight. Save your goodbyes for the morning light. But don't let me be lonely tonight. How many of you guys know that song? Don't let me be lonely tonight. I mean, he's literally saying, treat me however you want. I don't really care if you lie to me. I don't care if you tell me the truth. I just don't want to be lonely, right? Right? I just don't want to be lonely. And here's the truth. It's not just our friends, is it? It's not just our friends that deal with this stuff. I mean, we've all made decisions that we regret out of the fear of being alone, haven't we? We've all made decisions that we regret because loneliness is not necessarily a problem. It's what we do when we're lonely that is. It's what we do. It's the decisions that we make when we're lonely. That's the problem. Loneliness is really, it's not the problem. Loneliness is more than an emotion, though. And I think loneliness is a deep cry from the soul that says, I need something. Loneliness is this deep cry from within us that says, I need something. You see, we view loneliness as something is wrong with me. Man, what's wrong with me? Like, I should be stronger than this. I'm better than this. I don't need to feel so lonely. It shouldn't be like this. But here's the truth. Loneliness isn't an accusation. Loneliness is an invitation. It's not an accusation that there's something wrong with you. Loneliness is an invitation. It's a door that opens up that says, hey, you need to talk to somebody. Hey, you need to be next to somebody. You need to be in community. It's not a negative thing. You see, loneliness doesn't prove that there's something wrong with me. Loneliness says there's something missing in me. It's not an accusation. It's an invitation. It says there's something missing. It's an alert that lets us know we're too far out from what we were created for. That God created you for community. He created you to be in connection with people. Loneliness is not a sign of inadequacy, right? And we're going to talk about this one next week. It's not a sign of inadequacy. Well, I'm not good. Well, I must not be enough, right? I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes. So something is wrong with me. Loneliness is not a sign of inadequacy. Loneliness is a sign of desired community. It's a sign of desired community. Loneliness is not a negative. It's just a sign that lets you know you were created for something else. You were created for more. It's a cry from our soul, a deep desire to be in connection with people. And not just connected to people like on Facebook or Instagram where you have thousands of friends, but it's talking about a deep desire to be in relationship with people where they know your past and your present and they accept you for who you are. It's an alert to let you know that we were created for this. So if there is a God, and maybe you're sitting there and you're not in a relationship with God, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and maybe you would say, okay, John, I will go along with you for a minute. But if there is a God, an all-powerful being who created us and supposedly has a plan for our lives, he has a plan for my life, how would God have me deal directly with my loneliness? There is a God, how would he have, not avoid the loneliness, not turn up the white noise, right? But actually deal with it, to actually confront it, to take it head on. How would God have me deal with my loneliness? We're going to look at a man this morning by the name of Jesus. He was all man and he was all God. And he was sent down from heaven. He lived a perfect life. And he said things like this: if you want to know what God would do in this situation, watch me. If you want to know what God would say about this or that, then just listen to me, because I am equal with the Father. And he said he's equal with God. And you can imagine that by Jesus saying that, he probably experienced some separation from people, right? They probably didn't like that too much. But Jesus comes and he makes this incredible trade with us. And the German theologian Martin Luther called it the great exchange, that he takes something of his and he gives it to us, and he takes something of ours and he takes it on himself. It's called the great exchange, and Paul explains it beautifully. And the reason I want to look at this is because we're going to look in a moment at a statement that Jesus made while he was on the cross. But first, we've got to understand this exchange that took place. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he talks about this exchange. He says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us. So that means Jesus took on our sin. Well, what's sin? Sin is anything that you wish that you didn't do, that you wish you know you should have done. Or it's something that you did that you're like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. That was not good. That was not right. That's sin. And Jesus took that onto himself, and he traded us something for it. And here's the thing. God is the judge. And that's the interesting thing. God's the judge, and so he demands payment for our sin. And Jesus took our sin on him. And this is what he exchanged for our sin. It says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That he took our sin and he exchanged it for his righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? If you don't know, righteousness just means that you're in right standing with God. That one day you're going to get to heaven, and one day if you've accepted Christ in your heart, you're going to get into heaven. You're going to stand before the Father, and he's going to go, why should I let you in? And you're going to go, because Jesus exchanged my sin for his righteousness. That's it. It's nothing that you've done. It's nothing that you've accomplished. It's just because of this great exchange. And maybe you'd say, well, I don't feel righteous, John. Like, I don't feel righteous. Man, today might be your day. And you said, John, wait, you honestly, John, you don't know my past. I've done some terrible things, and you just don't know my past. Can I tell you something? Jesus took your past. He owns your past. And he took it. He took your past, present, and future. And when God looks at you, he sees squeaky clean. He doesn't look and see all the sin. He sees righteous because of what Jesus did. And that's the great exchange. It's the most amazing transaction that has ever taken place in the history of mankind. The most amazing. It's the great exchange. And this is where we get to this statement that Jesus made while he was on the cross. A cross that he was on because of your sin and because of my sin. Because of the cross, he experienced something that we can all relate to. And this is where he makes this statement. Jesus is hanging on the cross. It's Matthew 27:46. It says this. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out while he's on the cross in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani." I just want to stop right there. I don't know like other languages, but it feels like I did when I said that, right? Didn't that just roll off the tongue? That was amazing. I just want to let you know that I didn't know how to say that like 2 weeks ago, okay? I was having trouble with it, and so there's this little program on my computer where you can plug it in and you can like highlight a word and then you just push the button, play, and this little robot voice goes, "Lema, lema, en sabachthani." So I just pushed that button, right? For about an hour, I just kept pushing it because I wanted to get it just right for you guys, just for that one moment. You're welcome, by the way. Okay, so, and this is what it says. It says, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus cries out in a loud voice. He cries out to the Father, why have you forsaken me? It's in this moment that he takes on our sin. He takes on our sin and he cries out. Because, you know, a lot of theologians, and we're not completely sure what happened here, but a lot of people believe that God actually left Jesus, and for the first time, Jesus experienced loneliness from the Father. He experienced loneliness from the Father. Has anyone ever cried out to God before? I mean, you've probably used those exact same words, haven't you? God, where are you? God, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm going through this thing, and you were supposed to be with me, but like, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And then in this moment, Jesus experienced extreme loneliness from the Father. But here's an amazing truth, is that he took on that loneliness so that we could experience a relationship with the Father. That if Jesus didn't walk through this loneliness, if he didn't experience this, if he didn't take on our sin and experience loneliness from the Father, then we could not have a relationship with the Father. Has anyone ever had to tell a kid no? I have two kids. You guys know I have a 3-year-old boy and a 2-year-old little girl. And for some reason, it's really, really easy to tell my little 3-year-old boy no. Like, I'm like, no, no, no. I just make up reasons and say no, no. But then my little girl, she's 2, and she looks at me, and I'm like, whatever you want, sweetie. Whatever you want. You know, like, no, I'm just joking. But it's so hard. Like, you have this little girl, it's so hard. It's hard to say no sometimes to kids, isn't it? It's hard to say no. But we know that no is a form of love, isn't it? No is a form of love. And sometimes God has said no to us or your parent. And sometimes you're thinking, like, it doesn't feel like love. Like, it would feel a lot better if you said yes, right? Yes would be better for me right now. No, we know that that's not true because we know better than the child, don't we? And we know that even though it's tough to hear no, it's going to be better for them later, right? And God is basically telling Jesus no. You see, sometimes we say no to our kids so we can say yes later. So that child can hear yes later in life. It's almost like a form of protection, isn't it? It's a form of protection. You can imagine that as Jesus is walking through this and he's going, God, is there any other way besides this cross? Is there any other way? Or do I just have to go through? God, do I have to get up on this cross? God, do I have to walk through this? God, can you just not let me go through this? And God says, no. No, you have to experience. You see, God told Jesus no so that he could tell you and I yes later. God told Jesus no so that he could tell you and I yes later, that I'm going to allow you, Jesus, to experience loneliness now so that all my kids can experience a relationship with me in the future. Jesus overcame loneliness so that we could experience intimacy. Jesus overcame, he beat loneliness so that you and I could experience intimacy with the Father. Through all the pain, through all the hurt, through all the broken relationships, through all the betrayal, the loneliness, so that you and I could hold on to this simple truth that you cannot be separated from your Creator. That you cannot be separated from your Creator. And although you may feel lonely, that there's a pathway to relationship. And although you may feel lonely, there's a pathway to relationship. Guys, it's what we're designed for. It's what we're designed for. I remember when I was 18 years old, I left Alamogordo. You know, there's 30,000 plus people that live here. And I moved to Orlando, Florida to go to a school very similar to the one we have here, the school of ministry that we have here. I went to Orlando and went to a big church out there. Greater Orlando has 2.5 million people living in it. And so I'm this kid from this tiny little desert town, and I moved to this, it's called the City Beautiful, and there's trees and there's people and there's millions of people. It's a big church. And can I tell you that I never felt more alone than I did when I went there? I mean, I'm surrounded by more people, and in my head I thought, man, I'm going to have so many friends. It's going to be great. I'm going to meet new people. And it was tough. Like, that was a tough year for me. And I remember sitting on the back porch of the people that I lived with, and I'm by myself, and I'm just going, God, like, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, there's people everywhere, and I don't have any friends. And maybe I should just go back, and maybe this isn't right, and maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to do. And I realize, honestly, I realize that my experiences, they probably pale in comparison to what you guys have walked through and the loneliness that you may have felt in your life. But it's in these moments of loneliness that I've experienced extreme intimacy with the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's in these moments of loneliness where I found myself going, okay, God, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to run to you. I'm just going to dive into you. I'm just going to get to know you more. And it's in these moments of extreme loneliness and pain where I look back on my life and I go, wow, those are the moments when I grew the most in my relationship with God. Those are the times where I learned the most, or I grew the most, or I became closer to God, because in my loneliness, I reached out to the Father. Isaiah, a prophet in the Old Testament, he wrote this in Isaiah 41:13. He said, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand." I want you to get that visual. Isn't that amazing? That he says, I'm the Lord your God, that whatever you're going through, wherever you're at, that I take your right hand and I'm with you. That I'm walking with you, and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. That whatever you face, that whatever you experience, I mean, this is an amazing truth, that God is with you, next to you, going through it. And that you may feel lonely, but he's with you. Do you know there's something even better than that? That when Jesus came, something even better happened than God with you, which is amazing. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he died, he rose again, and he went back up to heaven, and he told his disciples, hey, I've got to leave because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And here's what's amazing, is that when the Holy Spirit came, he's not just with us holding our hand. Guess what? He's in us, right? He's not just with us. You see, God in us is greater than God with us. You see, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, it's not just that God is with you, which is an amazing truth. But God said, I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to one-up myself. I'm going to be in you. I want to live in you. And I want to be there for whatever you're going through. Even though you may experience loneliness, you don't have to be defeated by loneliness. That even though you may walk through the pain and the hurt of feeling like you're going through this life alone, you don't have to do it. And honestly, I don't know why you feel alone today. I don't know what it is that you're facing. Maybe you just lost a loved one. Maybe that's like you're walking through this thing alone. Maybe you've recently walked through a divorce. Maybe all of your friends are getting married and you look around and you go, when's it my turn, right? When am I not going to be alone? Maybe a relationship is broken. I just want to offer you this helpful truth, and that's this, that you can be alone and not lonely. Amen. That you can be alone and not lonely, and it's helpful to experience loneliness. To be honest, it's helpful to experience loneliness because the relationship that you can build with God because of it. it's helpful to experience loneliness. If you're walking through a season of loneliness, then this is an opportunity for you to grow in your relationship with God. This is an opportunity that you don't have to waste, that you can go, okay, I'm lonely, but I'm going to run to God in this moment. Before we wrap things up, I'm going to give you three things to refuse. Right after that, Mike's going to come and he's going to sing this song. And as he sings this song, I want you to listen to the words. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and just remind you that you're not alone, that he's with you, that whatever you face, he's right there with you. He's not just with you, but he's on the inside of you. But first, we're going to look at three things you have to refuse to rise above the loneliness that pulls you down. And the first one is this. You have to refuse to believe the feeling of loneliness. You have to refuse to believe the feeling. You see, feelings can be deceptive, can't they? Well, I feel like this, and I feel this. But that might not always be the truth, right? And just because you feel alone doesn't mean you're actually alone. That the Heavenly Father, he's with you. He's on the inside of you, and he has a relationship with you, and that you are not alone. And some of you, honestly, you are saying things out loud because our words have power. And you're feeling alone, and you have become so negative, you're just like, well, I just feel like this, and I feel like this, and I don't, nobody likes me, and I don't have any friends, and I feel God's forsaken me, and God's loving me. And you are now telling yourself out loud your feelings, and it's starting to become more and more and more. You know what I've done in the past when I've gone through different seasons or different storms? I love to do this. You take scripture verses, you write them down on little post-it notes, right? And you can kind of tape them to your mirror, you can tape them to your window, you tape them to your car. Whatever you need to remind you of actual truth, because you need to combat your feelings with truth. And you need to take your feelings and go, you know what, feelings? That's not true. I'm not alone. I'm not by myself. When your feelings tell you that you're lonely, you need to tell your feelings that you're not alone. The second thing is this. You need to refuse to act out of loneliness. And this is a big one. This is one that a lot of us have a problem with. Some of you are making terrible decisions just to mask your loneliness. And you're lonely, and so you're taking things in your own hands, and you're making terrible decisions. Because of it. Some of you are addicted to pornography in here. You're addicted to pornography because you're so lonely and you think, ah, this is driving me crazy. And you've become addicted to pornography. Some of you need to refuse to act out of loneliness. You're making decisions based on your loneliness and it's leading you to a place that you don't like. Some of you are drinking way too much. And you're like, okay, one or two, that's not a big deal. But four, five, six, seven, just drinking until you forget what's going on in your life so you don't have to deal with the pain of it anymore. That's a problem. That's a thing. And some of you, you're acting out of loneliness and you're hurting yourself. You're actually making things worse for yourself. You're trying to forget about the loneliness, but it's not helping. The third thing you have to refuse is you have to refuse to fight loneliness alone. You have to refuse to fight loneliness alone. Here's the truth. We weren't meant to do this whole thing called life by ourselves. We weren't meant. We weren't created. We weren't designed to do it by ourselves. We were designed to do it with people, to walk through life with people. He created us for community. And some of you just need to tell someone. Some of you just need to let somebody know, like, hey, I'm lonely. Just a side note, if you're single in here, this is not a great pickup line, okay? This is not something that you, hey, you're pretty, I'm lonely, let's get together. No, it won't work, right? You need to tell somebody real, and tell a trusted friend, right? Somebody that you get to know. Join a community group. This is why we push community groups so hard at this church. Because, you know, community groups is a place where you get to meet real people going through real life, real things, probably very similar to what you're walking through. And they're with you in it. And you're walking through it together. And you don't have to do it by yourself. So Mike's going to sing this song, and here's what I want. Whatever you're thinking about, all the future plans that you have, I just want you to pause for a moment And I just want you to open up your hands and your heart and just go, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? Would you remind me of what I need to hear today? And then I'm going to come up and I'm going to close out. So I'm asking that nobody leaves during this song. There's some of you this morning who you just needed that reminder. Whatever you're facing, whatever storm you're walking through, season of life, and you felt like you've been alone this entire time. This is a reminder for you that he's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you. In those moments of loneliness, you can run towards your Father. There's some more of you here today that you've never experienced a relationship with God. You've never asked God to be your Lord and Savior. And I just want to go over this truth right here. Through the cross, Jesus overcame loneliness so we can experience relationship. That Jesus loved us so much, God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die. He said no to Jesus so he could say yes to a relationship with you. He wanted to be in a relationship with you so bad that he said, Son, you're going to have to go through this. It's going to be hard. You're going to experience loneliness, but Jesus overcame loneliness so that you and I could be in relationship with him. Would everybody stand this morning? And I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I just want to talk to those of you who you've said, I've never experienced a relationship with the Father. And I've gone through life alone, but I don't want to go through life alone anymore. I want to know what it's like to have God in me, living in me in a relationship with him. If that's you today, would you just slip your hand up and down? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Here in a moment, we're going to pray. And if you made that commitment today, you say, man, I want to step into a relationship with God. Right after we dismiss, I'm going to encourage you. We're going to have people down front. They want to pray with you and talk with you. They're going to give you a little light bulb that just signifies, hey, I've changed my life. I've given my life over to God. And I want to encourage you to make your way down after that. But could we all just say this prayer together, just as a congregation together out loud? Say, dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect, but Jesus was. And he exchanged his perfection for my sin. Right now, I put my trust in you. I want to be in a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God praise this morning? There's a lot of people that raised their hand, amen. Hey, before you go, I want to encourage you, make your way down to the front, connect with some people. Other than that, we'll see you guys next week for part 3 of White Noise. God bless.